The following Dharma talk was presented at Common Ground Meditation Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota, as part of the weekly Dharma series.
Good to see all of you here this morning. And there was a little one in the room, a little bit. Felt sweet to have a baby in the building. I've been reflecting on and just feeling really moved in these last few weeks of what feels like the great generosity of the Buddha. These are complicated times that we're living in, no doubt, but maybe not more complicated than other times. I don't know. It always seems like it's complicated for human beings, doesn't it? And probably just as complicated when the Buddha was alive. But the great generosity to offer something to teach for 40 years and offer something to ordinary human beings just like you and I that can meet us in the middle of all these moments of complicatedness. And when we think about complications, it can be worldly complications. It can just be personal complications too, like I'm struggling right now, you know, or something like that. Or it's been hard in my family, or it's been a difficult place to work, wherever I work, or something else. And the way human beings normally respond to what's challenging or complicated is we gravitate towards getting and holding on to something. Or pushing away, getting away from what we don't like, or what isn't pleasing. And even though we might see this in some gross ways, we don't see how it's hard to see. I mean, I can just use myself as an example. It's hard to see how often the heart, the mind is doing this push-pull thing, right? Wanting something, trying to hold on to it, just even in the thought world, it's exemplified, right? I think about what I want. I think about what I want to hold on to, right? I think about what I don't want or what I want to get rid of. Am I alone here? No. It's like this, right? And, you know, it could have been enough for the Buddha to say, friends, you know, that's hard. That's a problem. That habitual way of responding in our lives and in the world, it's what causes us to feel stressed. Living into the present moment and being able to feel what's moving without holding on, but also realizing we have some agency to participate and respond and take action all the time. You know, it would have been enough for the Buddha to say, like, oh, this is, friends, this is what I have understood. This is what causes us suffering. Incessantly trying to get and hold on to what we want, you know, that causes stress. But he didn't just say that. He just laid out a whole way of being sensitive in our lives, which I think is so beautiful. Like, it almost brings me to tears in some moments. Like, my God, you know, we want to figure out the right way to do life, right? Don't we want to get that? We want to nail it down and then replicate it in every moment that we possibly can. And we kind of bring that attitude into our spiritual practice too. I've seen this in, I'm only speaking to what I've seen in my own life, that I come to a Dharma talk or something and I expect to get some answers, like solve my problem, please, right? Maybe you can relate to that too. But the path isn't about answers. It's not about prescribing a particular way to do anything. It's about developing a sensitive heart so that we learn to feel and see beneath what our ordinary habits are pointing to. When the heart becomes sensitive to life, as it is, we start to see a lot more than just my own angst about this, which is where we begin often. And so there's a place for wholesome desire and deep aspirations, because it keeps us interested, keeps us looking, right? Keeps us being curious and inquiring. And that's actually what the path is about. It's not about answers or telling us what to do, but about keeping that inquiry alive so that we start to look at our own situations, our own life situations, our relationships, and we start to get really curious about what does it mean to be right in the middle of this in the most skillful way? What supports a heart that feels relatively free in this moment? And what contributes to a heart that feels all bound up in this moment? And that's not something anybody can really tell us. Yeah. Because we each feel into it in our own ways, in our own lives, given our own circumstances. So the beauty of the Buddha's teachings are that he's like, here you go, beloveds, right? This is it. And you get to look and you get to figure things out by applying the teachings right in the middle of our own circumstances. And it's not some kind of passivity either, right? Like, oh, now I know suffering, or I know how to experience freedom. When the heart lets go of this important thing that I care about, it's not the important thing itself. Actually, it's the ruminating about the important thing. Because often our minds are going to really kind of whip up our own stories about, and it's all similar, right? Like, this is who I am in relationship to this is who you are. That's the story that goes through our mind. I mean, check it out and see if you have different stories in your mind. But it's often something like that. This is who I am, and this is who I think you are. And this is what I want, and this is what I want you to do. This is what I want to get, or this is what I don't want, and this is how I want you to behave so that I don't have that. Or this is how I want you to behave so that I get that. Isn't that the story? Yeah, it's some version of that. But again, don't believe me, check it out. And so when we take up a practice like this, right, we're starting to see beneath those habitual stories to some extent, right? We're starting to see into it like, oh yeah, that actually all these thoughts in the mind, these are different. This is different than the actual thing that I am thinking about, right? It could be anything. Like my thoughts about anxiety and what a terrible person I am, or a big failure in my life, or, you know, whatever it is, like I should be able to handle this, or who knows, whatever the story is. Oh, I'm such an angry person. You know, I should be better than this. I've been on this path for a long time. Or, well, I've been at this job for a long time. I should be better at this. Well, I guess, you know, those are similar stories that go around in my head. Your stories might be different. But all of those stories are different than me doing a job, me being a human being. You know, there's like different, they're just stories. They're stories we tell ourselves about who we think we are in relationship to other people in the world. Yeah. But coming into the body as a resource builds more capacity for us to see beneath some of those habits of creating stories about self and others, and about only moving in the world habitually, that means without awareness, about getting what we want and getting rid of what we don't want. Because that's what's playing out all the time as human beings. We don't know it because we're not aware. We're not sensitive. But we're playing out those stories like, I want this, I don't want that. This is who I am. Now I'm trying to validate that. And this is who I think you are. And I'm trying to validate that over and over and over. But when it seems to me that this practice is about building more resource, so learning how to connect with other ways of knowing, the sensitive heart, the heart that can be mindful and intimate with the way things are, and see beneath those patterns to see that, oh, those are just stories, those are just habits. It's about like, no, we know that, because we're not exclusively dependent on thoughts to tell us what to do, or thoughts to dictate our response, or to to create a story, right? We're not exclusively dependent on thoughts to live our lives, right? We learn how to feel into the body as a resource, not so much a refuge, because a refuge would be like the body is never going to betray me, something like that. That's not true. If the body's got a life of its own, it's going to reflect that inner workings that we don't know what's happening there. But the body as a resource to help the sensitivity develop and be cultivated moment by moment, day by day. When we're sensitive to our activation, for example, in our body, what do we notice? We notice like, oh yeah, when I'm angry, both the mind and body reflect that. I know that I'm angry because of my thoughts, because of the emotions, because of the sensation in my body. And when I feel that, now I have a choice what I do with that, right? Prior to that, I didn't have that resource. I didn't have that say or that agency. And all kinds of other things. When I'm confused, the body reflects that confusion. When the mind is thinking a lot and getting kind of tense about its rumination, my forehead, you know, has some, reflects that tension. And on and on and on. So sensitivity to the body in our own ways, right? Not by forcing our way into the body or demanding that the awareness kind of land and stay forever on the breath, but just like knowing we have a body and it feels like this in some way supports that connection with that added resource. And there's other benefits. Knowing I have a body, it feels like this in relationship to other bodies. Oh, that feels like that, this right now, right? Knowing that I'm here in this room with this body like this and with other bodies in the room, you know, I'm sensitive to that. It's tenderizing, actually. You know, all kinds of things move, even just right now, like a little smile. It's so delightful to be here with everybody, right? People I know, people I don't know, people that are all here inquiring the same way that I am, right? Learning how to stay interested and setting down rules and wanting to get something and actually just being curious about how this all comes to be.
Yeah.
It's how we learn how to be in community with one another, to be responsible, right? Here in community, responsive to one another. Like, oh, I care about the quality of my presence, this body with other bodies. How do I know that? Oh, because I feel right now that I'm in a relationship with other bodies. And that feels like this.
Yeah.
Just to remember that kind of can change how we move about and how we engage with one another, not just here at Common Ground, but anytime throughout our lives. And we can embrace other ways of knowing, like connection with the earth, with the land. Even just by noticing like, oh, this wood, these floors are made of wood. There's some groundedness here on this land here in Minneapolis or Dakota land, you know, then the mind can reflect on that too. That's heartbreaking. The land was stolen from the Dakota people. And here we are on this land practicing in this way. But can that be included in how we feel into our relationship with all beings?
Right.
Not as instead of trying to push something away because it feels uncomfortable or unpleasant, or trying to hold on to something and make it fit, manipulate it to make it fit into our idea of how life should be, but to actually just use the information that's here in our relationship to land, to people, as a part of feeling into a greater sense of resource. And to include our own Buddhist lineage. You know, we practice in the insight meditation tradition, which didn't originate here in Minneapolis. The Buddha lived in India, and these teachings moved through various parts of Asia, made their way here. And it's such a beautiful thing to me to feel in relationship with all of that movement, right? The movement of good energy, of aspiration, of wholesome desire to want to be free, to care about other people, and the movement of freedom through bodies of people, communities of people. You're starting to see like how it's not so, practice is not so limited to just whether or not I can stay on the breath today for the next half an hour. Our interconnectedness with beings through time and space, you know, really matters. There's the Buddha, you know, we could say that the Buddha's main interest in teaching was just understanding suffering and the cessation of suffering. What's it like when we feel that inner tension of wanting to get and hold on or not wanting something, you know, just kind of always trying to manipulate experience? We can see that in our lives, like, oh yeah, we're doing this externally, but we can also see this internally. I'm trying to manipulate my experience so that I get this good feeling of staying on the breath or staying with the body moment by moment, right? But it's not actually that way most moments, right? Most moments we remember the breath or our, whatever anchor we're practicing with, and then we forget it a few seconds later, right? Or is that also just me? No, it's like we remember and then we forget. We remember and then we forget. We remember that we have this body, then we forget and we get lost in our thoughts, right? Because that's a habit. That's a habit to get lost in our thought. We think all the time. Of course that habit's going to show up here. But remembering, we remember again and again and again, and that's what we call practice. So instead of trying to manipulate our practice so that we're getting and holding on to just how we want things to be, we can practice really surrendering to understanding the process that's at play. Like, oh, it's like this for human beings to remember and forget, to remember and forget. Now, that's a really important thing to tune into, right? Because now we start to see like, oh yeah, the Buddha's teaching about suffering and the end of suffering is because of this right here. Remembering and then forgetting, remembering and forgetting. Yeah. Tuning into the way it feels to have a body, our interconnectedness with each other, and then completely losing that in another moment and think, like, what am I getting out of this? Or something like that. So sometimes there's a phrase that, like, sometimes there's a misunderstanding that life is suffering. Like, we just have to accept that life is suffering, but that's not at all what the Buddha was saying. He was saying that there is suffering and we can understand how suffering comes to be in our lives. And he also said that there's no end to how subtle the understanding can be. Yeah. So when we think we know, yeah, I get this is suffering, just keep looking, right? Keep being curious. Keep bringing forward the heart of inquiry and set down all the rules that we think we need to have in order to manipulate our experience to be what it is or to be what we want it to be. And then we take that energy or that spirit everywhere we go, into the world, into our lives, and we just take a look. Like, do we need the mind that has to hold on or demand something or needs to manipulate something to actually engage and participate in the ways in which we want? Do we need that? I was just watching my mind earlier this morning, kind of had a story about something that I think is a problem. I mean, I actually think it's a problem, you know? And so I want to admit, like, oh yeah, sweetie, you think this is a problem, but it's actually the problem is the problem in the mind that's thinking all of that. And in a moment, when I'm moving around freely expressing my wholesome desire to alleviate suffering, that feels much different, right? That feels good, actually. And there's enough energy to do that. So that distinction between creating problems in our mind that we want to resolve in a particular way and actually using our bodies and speech in the ways in which we want, because we care about alleviating suffering without having to have a goal in mind, like this needs to be accomplished in the next month or year. There's nothing wrong with that, right? Actually, nothing wrong with that. But we don't want to hold so tightly to it that it disrupts that good flowing energy of suffering, right? Because I can feel that tension, like, oh, here we go again with this problem. I thought this was solved, right? But now we're here and now I'm mad that I still have this problem to be solved. But the problem is actually in my mind in this moment and not in my wholehearted movement of energy through this body to engage in alleviating suffering in the ways in which I think are important, right? So it's useful to stay in touch with our wholesome desires, our aspirations, and to watch even in simple ways, like touching the aspiration to be here, right? Our intentions to be, our motivations to be here and engage in practice on a Sunday morning like this at the beginning of a sitting period. It's remarkable when I do that, how just like, oh yeah, I care about being sensitive. Sometimes that will come up for me. I just care about being sensitive to life. And that will bring me right back to contact with the present moment. Instead of being in my mind trying to, you know, figure out, how, you know, it's so subtle. Like the mind is like, you're going to practice now and just sit down and do, I don't know what's going on in there, right? But something that doesn't feel like intentionally present, cultivating sensitivity. But just a simple intention that arises in the mind or a connection with that, then there's this, oh yeah, I have a body and it feels like this. What's that like to have a body in any way, right? And as that habit of sensitivity is developed and cultivated, it's willing to go anywhere. Why? Because it has a strength all on its own. It's so not motivated by a person who has to get anything. The habit of awareness, it's a habit. It's a habit that grows stronger with time and then shines the light on patterns that just pull us around without us knowing them. So it's a cultivation, cultivating sensitivity, cultivating mindfulness, cultivating awareness, that the more moments we remember, like I'm just here to do that and to trust sensitivity or mindfulness or awareness, we can use these words interchangeably, to just be the light that reflects back what's already here, so that we start to see what is motivating our lives. And remembering that we're always embodied, never separate from that. And so it's about trusting how it is for us right now, not some idea about how we want it to be, but actually how it is for us right now. In the first foundation of mindfulness, the Buddha taught us about how to establish mindful awareness, how to cultivate mindful awareness. By establishing mindful awareness with the body, right? And not as a one and done, but as a continuous cultivation for all the moments in which we care to practice. So all the moments of our life, at least in this lifetime, right? It's a worthwhile activity just to remember I have a body and it feels like this. Yeah. And then to find some way to take care of that. And why is this so important? Because the body brings us right back into the here and now. The body reflects it's like, you know, this poor sensitive being that reflects the impact of life that's moving through us. So if we want to know the present moment, we can only know the present moment through this body and mind. There's no other way to know it. So we want to be present. We want to cultivate sensitivity. We want to be skillful human beings. How do we do that? By being present, cultivating sensitivity. You know, we want to be good parents or good partners or good coworkers. We want to be responsive in the world. Well, how do you do that? By cultivating sensitivity with this body right here and now. because life moves through this body. It's like remembering to keep practice so simple, simple just like that. And the brilliance of the Buddhist teachings is that it always brings us back to our own subjective experience. Subjective because it moves through this body and mind in this moment, right? Our experience is universal because every human being experiences the same sort of things, right? A body that's sensitive and a body that doesn't do what we want it to do, and a mind that's sensitive and a mind that isn't governable. Emotions of all sorts. Of course, we might have certain leanings, like this mind might be more, have a tendency towards this, and that mind may have a tendency towards that. That's because those habits have been cultivated and strengthened with time, right? But the universal experience is a human one, and it's also a subjective reality that we're experiencing right now, because it's like this for us, right? It's like this for me, for now, we could say. So that kind of breaking free of rules and wanting the practice to tell us what to do, right, is about trusting our own subjective reality and the wisdom that moves through each of us. Every Dharma teacher is different this way, if you notice that, you know? And it's not that I can watch my mind sometimes and go, oh yeah, this Dharma teacher knows what's up. But this Dharma teacher, maybe not so much, right? But this Dharma teacher just teaches through their own subjective experience. And this Dharma teacher just teaches through their own subjective experience. Yeah. It sounds different because every human being has a different lived reality. And so our job, if we're curious, is to look for the depth of the Dhamma, right? Look for it so that we can apply it to our own lives, to our own subjective experience. Kids are going to come in any moment, so I'm debating, do I go into more territory? I'll read a quote from the Buddha. Practitioners, it is through not realizing, through not penetrating the Four Noble Truths, that this long course of birth and death, is like cycles of suffering, has been passed through and undergone by me as well as by you. I love that. By me as well as through you. Like the Buddha's like, oh, beloveds, I've been there. It's tough. It's tough being a human being. What are these four? They are the noble truths of dukkha, the noble truth of the origin of dukkha, the noble truth of the cessation of dukkha, and the noble truth of the way to the cessation of dukkha. But now, practitioners, that these have been realized and penetrated, cut off is the craving for existence, destroyed is that which leads to renewed becoming, and there is no fresh becoming. So when the Buddha is saying, he's saying is that, you know, these four noble truths, the noble truth of suffering, the cause of suffering, which is our attachments, clinging, right? The possibility of freedom and the path, practicing, right? Practicing cultivating sensitivity as the path of freedom. Like when we understand those, like there's no end to how free the mind can be. There's no end. So every small possible way that we feel into suffering and the end of suffering, or just suffering, right? Sometimes that's enough to just go, oh, it feels like this, like suffering feels like this. I don't know what I'm supposed to do right now. I don't actually know where to go, but I know this feels like suffering. And then I learn how to take care of that because I care right there in that moment, right? There's metta or loving kindness or care or friendliness towards that experience of suffering. We're on this path of suffering to the end of suffering, right? When we feel, oh yeah, it feels like this to be tense, to be tight, to want something, right? I want this. I know I want that, right? Or I don't want this. I really know I don't want this in this moment. Well, how does that feel, right? And can I be tender about that? not because I want to keep it, because I just want to keep being a deluded human being, but because there is suffering.
Yeah.
But because this is suffering, it's like this, to feel into our own predicament. And the only way we know that cessation of suffering is by feeling the movement of suffering right here and now. And one more quote from the Buddha. Friends, just as the footprints of all legged animals are encompassed by the footprint of the elephant, and the elephant's footprint is reckoned the foremost among them in terms of size, in the same way, all skillful qualities are gathered under the Four Noble Truths. Under which four? Under the noble truth of stress, under the noble truth of the origination of stress, under the noble truth of the cessation of stress, and under the noble truth of the path of practice leading to the cessation of stress. So when we want to know how to practice, just can keep it really simple, right? All of the good qualities, all of the skillfulness, all of that is right built into our very simple understanding. Oh, it's like this. How was it for me? Oh, it feels like this right now, in this body, with this heart. Does it feel like stress, or does it feel like some freedom from that, right? And how do we know that? Because we feel it right here. So simple, right? Is everything. Well, thank you so much for your kind attention this morning, friends.
This talk, like all programs at Common Ground, is offered freely in the spirit of generosity. To learn more about Common Ground and its programs, or if you would like to donate, please visit our website, www.commongroundmeditation.org.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.